I would like to just say thank you to the worship team for indulging me this morning. I don't know if any of you who are seniors have any kind of a bucket list, but starting to play the bass again is something that's been on my bucket list, and so I appreciate the opportunity to kind of get back in line with that. A number of years ago, my wife Joan and I attended a special event at Roberts Wesleyan College. The guest speaker was Pastor E.V. Hill. He has passed away, gone to his reward in glory, but he was a very well-known black preacher from the U.S. And as he began to share with us, he started to tell us about the very first International Congress on World Evangelization that had taken place in July of 1974. It was held in Lausanne, Switzerland. Sometimes it was called the Lausanne Congress on World Evangelization. Over 4,000 delegates attended from literally all around the world. As you might expect, Dr. Billy Graham was the honorary chairman for this event, and in that role, he brought the very first message at the Congress. And again, as you would suspect, Dr. Graham's message basically said the most important thing for the church to do is to win people to Jesus Christ. No surprise there. Interestingly, the second person that was on the agenda to speak was a bishop from a third world country, and his message basically said the most important thing for the church to do is feed hungry people. In other words, he was saying the social dimension of the church's ministry is what is most important. Well, Dr. Hill told us that after those two messages, that entire Congress of 4,000 plus delegates was divided right down the middle. There was the win them side and there was the feed them side. Now, everybody knew from the schedule that E.V. Hill was going to bring the concluding message at the end of the Congress. So he said all week long, people would come up to him from one side or the other and say, now remember, Dr. Hill, be sure and make the right emphasis when you bring your message. He had equal kinds of prompts from both sides. Well, as you would expect, he did a lot of praying. He said, Lord, what in the world am I going to do here? And as he prayed, God gave him a very creative idea. And he decided to use the analogy of the game of baseball to explain the mission of the church. So when he got up for his very first message, this image was projected on the screen for all the delegates. Now, the game of baseball is known around the world, maybe not loved as much as in America, but certainly known around the world. I'm going to interrupt my story about E.V. Hill for just a moment, and I want to ask this question. What is the mission of the church? By the way, does that building look a little familiar to you? It's a good question, isn't it? What is the mission of the church? What is it all about? On the heart of God, what are the things that are most important when it comes to the mission of the church? Well, to discover the answer, I want to examine with you the teaching of the Apostle Paul that Pastor Holly read for us earlier, because I think in that context, Paul describes his view of the mission of the church in Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 28. Listen to what he said again. He said, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 29. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. At the Congress, Pastor Hill told the delegates that in the game of baseball, there's something you have to do first. And that's simply that you've got to get to first base first. Well, in the same way, to fulfill the mission of the church, there's also something that we need to do first. Now, I want you to look at this picture of the diamond, and I want you to notice the key word. You see, in terms of the mission of the church, we win people to Christ at first base. We win people to Christ at first base. Advance the slide, if you would, please. Here's how Paul stated it in Colossians 1, verses 28a. We proclaim him admonishing. Now, who is the him? We proclaim who? Christ or Jesus. Yes, he's the one that we proclaim. He's the one that we admonish people to put their faith and trust in. It's interesting that the previous verse talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, you only have the hope of glory if Christ indwells you, if Christ lives in you. And the only reason that Christ lives in us is if we have received him, if we have invited him to come and live within us. I've only been here a short time. But already I've discovered that this idea of winning people is a high priority here at the Peterborough Free Methodist Church. In the full range of our ministries, ministries to children, youth, and adults, we're always looking for opportunities to introduce people to Jesus so that they can receive him into their heart and into their life. I've been very impressed with your focus on missions, so many different initiatives. This week, as the team will go to Mexico City, that's one example of the kinds of things that you're doing to help people meet Jesus. And I know that as the team is ministering down in Mexico this week, their prayer will be, oh God, help us to introduce Jesus to people so that they can receive him and welcome him into their heart and their life. I want to tell you about a couple that I had the privilege of pastoring. His name was Rick. Her name was Brenda. And I'll never forget, they appeared at a Sunday night service. You know that this is a long time ago because we had Sunday night services back then. But you know, visitors hardly ever came to Sunday night services. They'd come Sunday morning. But this young couple walked in, and I quickly noticed they had a brand new little baby. Her name was Allison, I found out later. They came, I think, maybe two Sundays in a row, and I felt prompted that I should try and visit them. So I called their home, and I said, I'm going to be visiting in the area of your home tonight, Tuesday night. I'm just wondering, Brenda, if it would be okay if I stop by. She said, well, let me check with Rick. She called him. He happened to be a dentist. Called him at the office. And she called me back and said, we would love to have you come. And so I went to their home. We were sitting in the living room. I've got to be honest. I was feeling a little bit nervous. I really didn't know them. I didn't know what to expect. But as we were just sort of visiting, Brenda suddenly turned to Rick and said, can I tell him? I'm thinking, uh-oh, what's coming here? And he chuckled and said, sure, honey, why don't you tell him? And she looked at me, and her eyes filled with tears, and this warm smile came on her face, and she said, Pastor Vic, this morning in my prayer time, I said, God, if you care about Rick, and if you care about Allison, and if you care about me, could you send us someone who could show us how to become Christians? She said, I'd hardly gotten through that prayer, and you phoned and said, can I come? And we are so grateful that you are here. Well, to make a long story short, we went to the dining room table. Rick was on my right. Brenda was on my left. I used a little booklet that explained the gospel. I turned to Rick after the end of the booklet and I said, Rick, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to receive Jesus into your life? He said, Pastor Vic, I could hardly wait for you to get through the book so that I could receive Jesus as my Savior. He prayed to receive Christ. Then Brenda did the same thing. Now let me ask you, what happened to Rick and Brenda Gresick that night? They got to first base because they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. I want us to be a bit reflective this morning as we engage with this truth. I want us to look at ourselves as a congregation and say, Lord, how are we doing in terms of introducing people to Jesus? But I want to get even more personal than that. And I want us all to say, Lord, how am I doing about winning people for you in the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, if you know anything about baseball, you know that a team is not satisfied just to get a runner to first base. There's a coach there who's doing everything that he can to get the runner where? To second base. And let's look at our diagram again, and we're going to see a second key word. Can you see it at second? Read it for me. Build. Okay, first base was win. Second base is build. And we build people up in the faith at second base. Here's the part of the text that kind of suggests that. And teaching everyone with all wisdom. This is what Paul says his mission is, and consequently the mission of the church. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Some of you will be, I think. But the main verb of Jesus' great commission to his church is make disciples. That's the main verb. And he tells us how we're going to make disciples. And here's what he says in Matthew 28, verse 20. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that the task of making disciples is one of the greatest needs in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We talk about it, we think about it, we say that we're doing it, but when you get right down to it, many, many churches have much growth required in this area. And I would say that although this is a high priority for us at the Peterborough Free Methodist Church, I think it's also an area where God would want us to become even more effective. Let me come back to Rick and Brenda again. At the time when they got to first base and put their faith in Jesus, Campus Crusade for Christ did a training seminar in Kingston, where we were living at the time. And for the first time in my life, I was introduced to 10 little booklets called the 10 Transferable Concepts. And it was really a discipleship curriculum is what it was. And so we had Rick and Brenda, we had some other new believers, and so we started a Sunday school class prior to the worship service, and we used the 10 transferable concepts as our curriculum. It was incredible to watch Rick and Brenda begin to grow and mature and become grounded in their faith. You know, they were so eager. They reminded me of little baby birds when the mother comes with the worm. You know that picture? They just devoured everything that was available to them. They were into the Word. I remember the day when Rick came to me and said, Pastor Vic, what's all this business about tithing? I don't think I've ever had anybody ask me that before or since. But God was dealing with them, and as we talked about it and explained it, Rick said, I think I want to honor God with my tithe. And he did. So what was happening? Well, they were at second base, and they were being built up in their faith at second base. Can I ask this question for reflection? Who are you investing in to help them grow in their faith? And by the way, don't forget about yourself. You got to invest in yourself. I've got to invest in myself in order to keep going and to keep growing. Well, once a runner gets to second base, there is a third base coach who does everything he can to get that runner to third. Let's look at our diamond again. The key word here is the word deploy. Deploy. We deploy people into ministry at third base. Here's the way Paul stated it. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Third base is all about ministry and service for Jesus. Now, you may wonder why I've used the word deploy. You may recognize it as a military term. It means that someone is released into action or released into active service. The reason that I use deploy, I used to use words like equip or train. But you know what I found? People can be equipped and trained, but not deployed. You hear what I'm saying? People can have all of the necessary training, but still not be out there in the trenches serving the Lord in a significant way. Paul gets very personal in this little part of our passage this morning. I think he shares personal insights into how he conducted his own personal ministry. Do you notice he says, I labor. The words that he chose in the original language really say, I worked to the point of exhaustion. That's the literal translation. Then he talks about struggling. And the word that Paul used in the original language is the root of our word agonize. Isn't that interesting? Well, you see, ministry can cause us to have to agonize. It can be heartbreaking as we enter into the pain and the suffering of other people. We can struggle, just like Paul said that he did. But did you notice he uses the little expression, his energy? Who's he talking about? God's energy. He's talking about ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in his own strength or his own energy. And then he uses the word powerfully. The original Greek word there is dunamis, which is the root for our word dynamite. Explosive power, effective power by the grace of God. Well, one of the things that I've discovered in the short time that I've been with you is that involving people in ministry is a core value at the Peterborough Free Methodist Church. I've been very impressed in the short time I've been here with the number of people in ministry, and not only that, but the passion with which you serve the Lord. In our staff meeting this past week, Pastor Holly indicated that there are over 60 volunteers in the student ministries department alone. Over 60 volunteers. She also mentioned that some time ago you did a spiritual gifts survey. And she said that a significant number of the people involved in this church indicated that they had gifts of helps or gifts of service as a part of their spiritual gift inventory. By the way, Pastor Hill, back at the conference in Roberts, reminded the delegates that third base is where we feed people. Feeding people is a ministry of the church. It's a way of serving. It's a way of representing Jesus in a hurting and broken world. As I remembered that, I couldn't help but think how amazing it is that here at this church, we have the Breakfast Club program at Otonabee Valley School, and then the newer Come Cook With Me program. I haven't been able to experience that yet. I hope I can. That was a little selfish, wasn't it? Pastor Holly also reminded us that Pastor Eyre liked to talk about the big three things that we need in our life every week. Do you remember what they were? A worship experience, a learning experience or a discipleship experience, and what was the third one? A serving experience or a serving opportunity. Well, let me take you back to Rick and Brenda again. We discovered that Rick was a wonderful classical guitar player, and so he very naturally morphed into an amazing worship leader. He could lead with his guitar, had a great voice, and he was gifted. He also had leadership abilities, and he became involved on boards and committees and so on as a leader. Brenda was gifted to minister to children, and she was particularly a compassionate person, so was drawn to ministries of mercy and compassion. But see, what was happening was they were being deployed, and they were having opportunities to serve. I want to share this with you. Finding a gift-based, passion-driven ministry and just doing it is one of the most fulfilling experiences that we as Christians can have. You will discover true joy and genuine satisfaction as you use your spiritual gifts in the service of God. Well, back to the game of baseball. Getting people home is the ultimate objective, right? Because that's where you score runs, and it's runs that enable you to win the game. Well, it's interesting that Paul was interested in getting people home as well. So here's our final picture of the image and the final key word, and you can see that it is present. Present. We present people at home. In verse 28, it says that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, anytime the word perfect appears, we get nervous, don't we? It doesn't really mean flawless, but perfect means complete. It means to be all that we can be, to reach our full potential in Jesus Christ. I think another way of saying it that I really like is to be perfect is to be increasingly like Jesus in our character and our conduct. I'm convinced that this was the Apostle Paul's goal for everyone he encountered. But you're saying, Pastor Vic, I get that, but what's this idea of present all about? Well, let me try and explain it. Paul believed that all ministry is ultimately focused on eternity. He believed that we are accountable to the Lord regarding our personal ministry. And because of that, he was convinced that one day he, the Apostle Paul, would stand before the Lord Jesus, and Jesus would say to him, "Paul, where are they?" Where are they? Yes, where are the people into whose lives you have invested your life? You see that? And Paul, more than anything, wanted to be able to say to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, here they are. I present them to you." I think that's the picture that's motivating Paul here in this wonderful passage. I'm not sure if you are aware of it or not, but Dr. Billy Graham and Corrie ten Boom had become very close friends, partners in the gospel and partners in ministry and great friends. When Dr. Graham learned that Corrie had suffered a debilitating stroke and that the end was very near, he traveled from wherever he was to be at her bedside. They shared company. The stroke was so severe that Corey was unable to speak in any way, but she was conscious enough to know that her good friend had come and was with her. At a point in their time together, Dr. Graham reminded her of one of her famous quotes, "The best is yet to be." And he used that to remind Corey that once she got to heaven, the best would be what she would experience, because the best is yet to be. It was just a short time after he had shared that with Corey that she suddenly lifted her head off the pillow, her eyes open wide. A beautiful smile, a radiant smile lit up her face, and she couldn't speak, but she said something like this, "Ah!" And Dr. Graham knew that God had opened her eyes and she was seeing the Lord Jesus, who was welcoming her to her heavenly home. And after that moment of recognition and worship, her head fell back on the pillow and she was gone. Well, she was gone from planet Earth, but she was home in her heavenly home in the presence of the God who loves her. Well, once again, how are we going to respond in our lives with the truth that we've looked at this morning? I want you to remember that we are indeed accountable to the Lord for our personal ministry and service for Him. I'm going to share in closing three little prayers, and I encourage all of us, myself included, to make these prayers our personal prayers going forward into this new week. Here's the first one. Lord, make me a Great Commission Christian. Make me a Great Commission Christian. And then here's the second one. Lord, make us a Great Commission Church. And here's the third one. Lord, energize us by your Holy Spirit to fulfill your mission in the world. God, empower us to win people to Christ, to build them up in their faith, and to deploy them into ministry and service, so that one day when we all get to heaven, we can present them to you, Lord Jesus, for all eternity. Would you bow your heads with me and pray? Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that you have made the mission of the church so clear. It's to win people to Christ, to build them up in their faith, to deploy them into ministry, so that ultimately we can present them to you as trophies of your grace in glory. Lord, you know our hearts, you know our lives, you know where we're at in our journey. And my prayer is for myself and my brothers and sisters here this morning. God, work deeply in us to make us Great Commission Christians and a Great Commission Church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.